Look, I know one of the biggest bonuses of a podcast is being able to skip through things you don't want to hear about, but I would encourage you just to sit tight for just a second, because as the war in Ukraine enters month three, it's hard to believe it's been that long, and you watch all the stories of families being displaced and lives being shattered, and you think, man, that's really sad. I wish there was something I could do about it. Here's the cool thing. You and me and all the potties could get together and actually maybe make a difference by helping families in Ukraine who have been displaced by all this violence. There's nearly 11 million people that have been forced out of their homes. And imagine that. You can't take everything with you. You've got to just pick and choose the few things you can carry as you try to get your family to safety. They say desperate times calls for desperate measures. Well, these are desperate times. That's why The Wally Show is partnering with Food for the Poor and 3,500 pastors in Ukraine and surrounding countries to help feed these people. And here's what's really cool. You can provide a meal for 25 cents, a quarter what we plug into a gumball machine. You could actually feed a child a meal. So now do some math with me. Your gift of a dollar would actually feed a family of four. Your gift of $10 sends 40 meals. Your gift of $25 will feed 100 people who desperately need it. So while this is a really sad story on the world stage, it is really cool to see the difference that a few motivated potties could make. So text the word WALLY to 91999. That's WALLY, W-A-L-L-Y, to 91999, and we'll send you a link to make a difference today. Welcome to the last Wally Show Aftercast.
Wow.
For a while. Like, it's not that dire, but just got vacation coming up, and so cover some of the things we didn't get to during the show today. We kind of all just paused for a second. We were watching the hearings on the Uvalde shooting. And a dad was there, and his daughter had survived, and she's telling the story of how she survived in that room when her teacher was shot in the head, and she watched that, and her friend was shot, and she covered herself with blood and played dead so that she could survive it. And you just, your heart breaks for these families, and I know there's not a great answer for ever preventing any of this stuff, and then we fight about it politically and gun rights and blah, 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 but man, when you hear these stories, they're sobering, man. And you know that little girl is never going to be the same. And it's sad because we watch so many action movies and we see this stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you see it in real life, you have to be going, I cannot believe I just watched that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it affects. I mean, like, I don't see how some kid ever comes back from this normal.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking yesterday, I was like, what if the news was different where someone had gone in like to a pound, like a humane society,
right.
And they shot 19 dogs.
Yeah.
I wonder what the reaction would be to that. And then it hit me, but this isn't dogs. These are human beings, and not even that, they're children. Yeah. And that made an even bigger impact. Mm-hmm. Like, just to think, because I don't ever want to lose how horrible this is. I don't want to become numb to it.
Sure. That's
I think
the fear.
Yeah, and I think we have. And we've even become numb to violence because of entertainment, because of video games, you know, all of that stuff.
I think there's a protection mode to it as well, like, because there's some things that are so unspeakable that you cannot believe they're happening. And to become numb to it, to numb yourself to it, it's almost like self-preservation to deal with it, kind of thing. Because you're like, oh, another shooting. Oh, darn it. Well, at least it didn't happen in my school, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's, I think it's a protectionary thing almost as well. It's not like a lack of concern, but you want to keep it at distance, you know, until it becomes real in your world, like Sandy Hook, Columbine, all these places that it was not real for them until it became real for them, you know, in their world. And that's the same thing here. So yeah, it's really sad. You got Matthew McConaughey testifying before Congress, and all these families and doctors and stuff. This was interesting that there were a few families of kids that were wounded or shot in the shooting, and they are suing the suspected gunman's estate. And you're like, okay, why are you suing his estate? This guy didn't have anything. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't like he was wealthy. So what's the point of this? And here's what their lawyer said. The initial lawsuit will allow us to discover evidence and possible other parties to the lawsuit if necessary. So I think what they're doing is they're using the legal system to actually get honest answers, because in discovery, lawyers have to be given access to documents and things like that. And so my hope is that in doing this, they will be able to find other places where things broke down so that they can actually help make it possible. And I hope it's more than just, you know, the deep pockets theory where you open the lawsuit, then you start going after the people for money that have deep pockets and blah, blah, blah. But in this case, too, I mean, something went horribly wrong. Mm-hmm. And you'd love to see these families get some sort of something, you know, for their kids. But whose responsibility it is? Whose fault is it? You know, and ultimately, and I know people are blaming the police for inaction and, you know, the school didn't have a door locked. And so, I mean, I think it's a comedy of errors, but not a literal comedy.
It really is. And I would be curious to know what his mom is thinking, because as a mom, she lost her child.
Right.
You know, even though he did something horrible, she lost her child. And if she's watching anything that has to do with this Congress listening thing or whatever, I want to know what she's thinking. Like, if she's thinking, if she had done something different,
right? It could be
that he came from a broken home. Right. You know, I've always said it's better to be single than it is to just be with someone.
Right. Right.
And because you can end up with not only you paying the price for that decision, but your children can too. And so I don't know if he came from a broken home or not. I'm assuming he did, but
yeah, because he was living with his grandmother, I think. And so yeah, there's definitely issues going on. I mean, obviously there's issues.
And that's
going
not
on.
To say that every child from a broken home is going to turn out to be a shooter, but I'm saying more work has to go into it.
I mean, we've talked about this before. I think when we chose to remove God from everything and we're like, oh, we don't want to have any religion on anything, separation of church and state, blah, 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 blah. We remove God. And in essence, you're also removing control. You're removing morals. You're removing boundaries, you know, and you're removing accountability. Mm-hmm. You're removing love, you know. And so it's no wonder we have broken people doing broken things.
I still think it's just interesting that it's mainly men that are the shooters.
And absolutely.
And, you know, if you look at entertainment or video games, how men typically entertain themselves, it has to do with violence.
And I can't explain that. Like, if you are, when you have kids, okay, you can have a boy and a girl and you give them each a stick. The boy is going to turn the stick into a gun and go pew, pew, pew. It's I don't know why. And maybe it's because it's what we see. But I mean, I remember doing that as a kid, you know, and I mean, it's the weirdest thing. Like, as guys, when you're watching a movie and you're watching somebody load up clips into a magazine, you know, and they lock that thing and they pull back the hammer of, you know, an M16 or an AR or whatever, that sound, there's something about that sound that clicks with a lot of guys, you know, and myself included, like that sound of racking something. And I think it's because we've identified with the heroes in the story and they're going to make things right, not the villain. We're identifying with the hero
that just
going to stand
cool.
up. Exactly. And it's my belt, like when it clicks, sounds like clicking in a magazine into a rifle. It's
does,
the craziest.
It?
Yeah, it does. But that sound is something that's like, oh, and so, and I'm
but
not
where,
even saying
we, where are we getting it confused with, like, you want to be the hero.
Right.
How did that boy see that as being a hero?
Well, I don't think he did. I think that kid is beyond messed up. But I'm saying that, like you say, well, why do guys do this? I think there's an element of guys, we have movies that glorify violence. We have movies that where the hero settles a score for somebody. We talked about this in the regular show when we were doing Name It and Claim It. For example, Rooster, we were naming roosters, and I said Rooster Cogburn, and that was an old John Wayne movie from the 50s. And the whole point of this movie is he was going back to make right something that was an offense on a woman, and he was settling it with violence. So we've had this narrative for years inside of our culture. It's pervasive. And I think that's where it stems from.
Do you think, though, that in action films, even in superhero films, that the villain is glorified as well? I mean, if you look back, I think I'm not big on comics and and like comic strips and superhero crap. Right. But
okay, that's one way to put it. Ouch.
The first villain I can think of that probably got a lot of notoriety was the Penguin and the guy with the question marks.
The Riddler.
Riddler, and then you've got like the Joker. Just the like Joker's all of those guys.
Disturbing. But all of these movies,
they're all like terrorists. Right.
All these villains are getting their own movies. Right. Even in in Disney, the villains are getting their own movies as well. So are we glorifying evil? Are we making it now where the hero and the villain are both getting glorified?
Absolutely. And I think that there are people that definitely identify with the villain story for sure. Because again, people are broken. I think where it gets even more muddy, you bringing this up, where it gets more muddy is when you take the hero and you make the hero flawed and dark, like what Batman has become, you know, and then it gets really murky, you know, for people who are already on that fence of they're not healthy mentally. Mm-hmm. I think that is a scary thing for this world.
And one more question. If men are boys, men, whatever, if they're prone to liking guns, liking violence, all that stuff, should it be where all men are forced to have at least a year in not combat, but in like an army?
Well, that's what they do in Israel. Israel,
yeah. A lot of countries.
Men and women, everybody has to serve for 2 years in Israel, believe it or not.
But I'm saying, like, could that discipline from being in the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, Marines, whatever, could that discipline be the thing that someone who has a lack of a lack of men in charge, would that help?
Yeah, I mean, we're never going to do that in a free society.
No.
You know,
I wouldn't want to go.
No. Gavin would be the worst at this.
Yeah.
You wouldn't
want me there.
Right. You do not want Gavin in a foxhole. And I would be too gung-ho. You know, and so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. To what you're saying, we need to have better male role models in kids' lives. Like, fathers need to be present. Fathers need to do hard things and be involved and say no and have boundaries and have the spine to correct your kids when they are going awry.
And get morals very, I think, like tightened in on what's right and what's wrong and what's obviously wrong. Like, this stuff is obviously wrong,
right?
But it is molded by the fact that you watch things like John Wick, Jason Bourne, like even James Bond, you see all these and you're like, oh, but it's cool to have a gun. It's cool to be the hero who shoots and all this stuff. But there needs to be clear communication on what is and isn't.
And clear what is evil and what is good. You know.
Yeah. I mean, it again, all of this goes down to, you're not going to solve any of this completely. But let's say if, you know, God was brought back into things and men were being better role models and certain gun control laws were in place and this mental health was available to people that need it. People spoke up when they saw messed up things. There's no one linchpin in this thing.
No.
It is a complete amalgamation of
brokenness.
Involvement. To prevent this stuff.
Well, and also too, it shouldn't be available for 18-year-olds to go and buy a gun.
The new thing is one of the things they're considering is 21. And again, I I'm fine with that. Like, okay, I have zero problem with that. I believe in responsible gun ownership. Like Matthew McConaughey was saying, it's actually better if you have restrictions that make it harder for people to do these dumb things and these horrific things, then it actually strengthens your right to bear arms, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I get all of that. I don't know that you know, prevents it, because they're either A, going to get something illegally, which that you need to shut down. You know, B, they use somebody else's gun. If they're determined, they're going to do what they're going to do. Whether it's a gun, whether it's a pressure cooker bomb, like the
but everything
the
should be done
Boston Marathon.
That can be to prevent
Absolutely.
It. And
yeah.
so I
it's
don't
a good place
think
to start.
I don't think anyone should have a gun that's meant for war. Like, for instance, those ones that just go, like, are just
automatic.
Shooting automatics.
Yeah, right.
No need for all that. Well, there's no need for that in a civilized community.
Well, automatic weapons are harder to get. Like, you have to have a license to have an automatic weapon. That's why when the Vegas shooter, the big thing on that was what's called a bump stock. So a rifle, when it shoots, has a recoil. So it pushes your shoulder. You know how it hits your shoulder? Well, the bump stock has a spring in it so that as it pushes your shoulder, it comes back to allow it to fire faster. And so it was a legal thing, and it let you fire almost like an automatic weapon. They did shut down bump stocks after that. They're like, okay, you cannot, no, this because you're trying to make an automatic weapon. Every gun short of a revolver is a semi-automatic weapon now. Not every, almost everyone. So like all these, and without single bolt actions, like a hunting rifle where you cock it each time, those are not semi-automatic. But weapons like the AR platform, all semi-automatic. Your 9mm handgun, semi-automatic. You, like, they all will fire on every pull of the trigger. You just don't have to re-rack them.
But you don't,
time.
you like with a typical handheld gun, you get what, 8, 10, 12 bullets?
Yeah, that's another thing they're trying to deal with is high volume magazines. Yeah, with a regular gun, you might get 7 to 11 on a handgun. With a rifle, 25, but then you can get longer magazines that will give you, you know, 60 and stuff. And so they are taking all of that into account. Again, this still isn't the problem because somebody's going to get, they're going to buy, you know, 6 magazines instead, and they'll teach themselves to reload quicker, you know. So again, these aren't the things that stop it. But
they are steps.
If nothing else, I would say if I'm on the gun lobby side, let me give some of these things away that don't really impede the freedom. If it also helps make the left move towards you, and it meets some common ground in the middle of a tragedy, in the middle of heartbreak, if you show, look, okay, we want this too. Let's give on some stuff. Let's compromise. Because in the back of your head, you're knowing it's probably not going to change anything. But if you give it to them, maybe it changes a little bit of their viewpoints of you, and you can actually work together to have a bipartisan, not solution, but at least agreement to this. Because none of this solves it.
And they need to do stricter background checks.
Absolutely.
Even if a kid is 21.
Absolutely.
I mean, look and see if he has anything where he's been in prison or whatever.
Florida used to have a 3-day waiting period. And I don't know if they still do or not. In Florida, if you went to buy a gun, you had to wait 3 days. They called it a cooling off. So they didn't want somebody that's in a heated argument with a spouse to go buy a gun in the moment, be angry, go back and shoot them. They wanted them to cool off for a couple of days. Great. Make it a week. You know, like, it doesn't matter. If you can wait a week for a gun. If you're not a criminal, you can wait a week to get a gun and do a more thorough background check.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. People that are listening to the Aftercast, I don't know how many of them are pro-gun, not gun, or what have you. But to me, I'm a moderate in this area. Like, I do believe in the Second Amendment right. I've said it before. I have guns. I grew up with guns, you know, but I grew up. Taught the responsibility of them, and that they were never a toy.
Your dad taught you that?
Absolutely. So, back to the dad.
Yeah, there needs to be a dad that's involved.
Absolutely.
And if a video game or a movie is raising you, if that's the only men that you see as role models, then that's not right.
If I had ever gotten my dad's gun out of the closet without his permission, I knew I would have been in so much trouble because there were rules in my house. There was accountability in my house. There was spanking. There was fear of my dad being mad at me. Not that he beat me, but that I had a healthy respect for his rules because he would back it up. You know, like, it's funny. We talk about things now and it probably sounds horrible, but my dad would always tell me, he'd be like, okay, you can do whatever you want when you're 18 or man enough to whip me, you know? and I was never man enough to whip him. You know, he was a tough old cuss. And I loved him, you know, and, you know, but there was accountability and I knew I would be in trouble. And so I didn't act fool. I didn't do stuff like that.
But this kid,
because he was involved.
This kid that did this school shooting, his grandmother and his grandfather are raising him.
Right.
They're already old. They can't keep up with him.
They've lived
the
their
grandpa
lives.
Was working like overtime. So he's hardly ever home. Said he didn't even know that the kid had a gun in the house because he's had jail time himself, the grandpa.
Yeah.
And he wasn't allowed to have guns in the house.
Oh, yeah. He could go to jail for that.
Right. But then somehow his grandson No, he probably had no friends. No one was keeping up with him. And so if he wants to get attention, this is the way to do it. Yeah. And it's terrible.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah. I mean, I wish there was an easy fix, man, because I think most people, if there was an easy fix that would actually work, I think the vast majority of people would be like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there just isn't, unfortunately. So, all right, here, let's move on to this one. Remember the story in the Olympics about the 15-year-old figure skater from Russia?
That was like
the phenom that was going to win. She was held out, but then they let her compete, and then she imploded because of doping. Like, she was tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. Well, they finally made a rule for the 2026 Olympics that you have to be 17 or older to compete.
Oh.
Which is bad news for, like, some of these 14-year-old girls that are going to be too young for the next Olympics. You know, they might, like, there's one girl that's going to miss it just barely. But
why are they doing this? Like, why
because
are they
the pressure on the young kids to perform and to be manipulated by adults at 10, 12, you know.
Do you feel like, and this is based off of going back to the gun situation, that, you know, you said upping the age to buy a gun to 21, now upping the age of Olympians to 17?
Yeah.
Is it because that people are coming from homes where they don't have good parenting, and so they're not told how to behave in a mature manner, and so we're having to wait longer for them to be able to make those decisions wisely because they're not getting it anywhere else.
Well, if you look at the Russian figure skater thing, this girl was a product of the system. Like, she has no control over her life. They are doing everything. They're giving her the cocktail she needs, and she's like, I'm just going to win.
Where's her parents?
I don't know. You know, if you talk to a lot of people, like in gymnastics, the parents are there, but the coaches run everything. Look at the horrible Larry Nassar situation.
Oh, yeah.
So many of those moms were involved with their kids, but adults mess things up, especially with kids and especially with the Olympics. So I think taking any kind of a step like this to try to make it better is a really good thing. The governing body of the Olympics said they're trying to prevent burnout, eating disorders, long-term consequences of injury that happen to young skaters who are pushed to perform these really advanced things maybe before their time.
Yeah, and at 15.
You can make the same argument for gymnastics.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, when what's her face? She had to take a break because of her mental health and stuff. I don't remember how old she was.
Oh, it's Gabby Douglas.
Simone Biles.
Simone Biles, yeah. I'm sorry, yeah.
I don't remember how old she was when she had to take a break, but that just goes to show the
pressure
that they're put. She should be in her 20s, yeah.
They're put under, and if she couldn't do it in her 20s?
Yeah, she was in her young 20s.
Then a 15-year-old surely can't do it.
No, absolutely not. All right, that's going to do it for my stuff. What do you got, Lady Rock?
What an uplifting way to go on your vacation.
I was not planning on talking about the shooting today until Betty had us watch the coverage that was going on, and then you were into it. I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's talk about this.
Let's do the least of these when we've come out of the shootings, gun control, Olympic age.
We can start doing least of these first, but like, I think people genuinely like the actual honest conversations about the reality stuff, the life stuff. So,
well, I don't know if you're going to like this, because typically it's supposed to be lighthearted, but this one might be hurtful for you, Wally. I know you're a big fan of Journey.
Oh, who
they were
isn't?
Big back in
They
were big
Rock!
Back in the 80s.
You have to love Journey. Don't stop.
I mean, they're overplayed.
By who?
Yeah.
Come the on. Radio.
No.
Anyways, they came out with a new song.
No. I always hate this when Journey comes out with a new song. Before you play the new song, can I just enjoy a little of the old stuff?
Don't stop believing. Hold on to the feeling.
Man, I cannot tell you how many times I was driving down Southern Boulevard, T-tops to my Trans Am, tucked safely in the back.
Root Perman place.
Going as fast as I could go with this song just blaring and thinking about the girl that just dumped me. Like, so good.
Well, this classic is called Don't Stop Believing, correct?
Yeah.
Well, the new one starts with the same word, don't.
Okay.
But it's called Don't Give Up On Us.
Oh,
that's
no.
Good.
Yes.
No, I know they're talking about a relationship, but I might have to be giving up on them. Like,
yes,
music.
It's their song to you and yes. their fans. They're like, don't give up on
don't
us.
Don't give up on us. We're going to keep writing these horrible songs. There's no way. I have not
so
heard
needy.
This. Honest truthful, I have not heard this, but I can promise you it's not going to be
okay,
good.
Okay, let's do this. After we've listened to it,
yes.
I want us all three to rate it.
Okay.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, okay? No, on a scale of 1 to 5.
Okay.
Where do we go?
I want to make it shorter.
What is Don't Stop Believing in all of our minds?
A 5.
It's
a 5.
It's a 5.
Could not be written better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this Don't Give Up on Us, okay? Mm. So 1 is going to be I'd rather go deaf than hear it again.
Sure.
5 is, oh my gosh, they're just as good as.
Lightning struck twice. Yeah. Okay, I got you. All right, here we go. I have to push the button, and I don't want
button.
To.
Push that button.
Oh, this is going to be so bad.
No, come on.
I know I feel it.
Was that baby?
He just said it all cool. Okay.
Okay.
A lot of things here, real quick, before we rate it.
I can't even remember what it just sounded like.
Don't give up on us, no, baby.
Okay. I have heard other Journey singles since Don't Stop Believing that are worse than this.
Yeah.
Okay. So the song that they released a few months ago, way worse than this. Like, it was not even listenable. Like, and
so
I was
say
so
it was
angry.
A one?
That other one was a 1.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. This, I'm going to put in at a 2.75.
Like,
2.75. It's not a 3, because that would make it above, like,
just
that would
average.
Make it, that would make it half of Don't Stop Believing. So it's not half of Don't Stop Believing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess 2.75 is half of Don't, it's a little over half of Don't Stop Believing.
Mm.
So, I'm going to go back to a 2. Because when we put in that
you
context,
talked yourself out of it.
When we put in that context of it being half as good as Don't Stop Believing,
that's,
it's a little under.
Yeah, that's a bit bold.
Okay.
To state
2.35.
A 2.35.
Final
okay,
offer.
So I would say I don't want to pull my ears off.
Okay, good.
But I will say I don't want to hear it again.
Okay.
So
okay.
I would give it.
You said the magic word. I don't want to hear it again.
I would give it a solid 1.
Whoa.
1.5. You know what? As someone that's not as big of a Journey fan as I am, I think that's fair. Like, I get that. I understand. I'm not mad at you. I just want to say I'm not mad at you.
What did you give it? A 2.35?
2.35. And so I'm not mad at you at all.
Just below halfway.
Yeah, I think that's good. Gavin is the youngest guy who's not even a Journey fan. So you're more rating that just on the scope of it's a song.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just like individual song. I'm not. In my mind, I'm not comparing it to Don't Stop
What
Believing.
If BTS did this song?
They'd do it better.
Dynamite!
I think that it would just be, I'll be in the middle there on 2, where it's like, okay, like it's casual. If I was driving, I might roll my window down halfway.
It feels a little summery.
Yeah.
It feels a little summery.
But to me, I'm impressed by the fact that like Don't Stop Believing was in 81.
Yeah.
This just came out. For a 40-year difference
sure.
in these guys, like that's pretty, like, I
okay.
clap that out.
Let's think about this, though, for a second. You're right. So 40 years. Okay, this song, agreed, it's not great. We all agree on that.
Not great.
But I want to focus on the fact that you mentioned this. 40 years ago, Don't Stop Believing was a song. It's still great today.
It is.
40 years later, it holds up because it was Steve Perry. Steve Perry was amazing.
And that guy is not Steve Perry,
no.
right? The new one?
Yeah, no. They've had two other things. I think this guy's name is Steve Algieri or something like that. I don't know. They've had two other singers
Sounds
since
just like him.
Yeah, that's what they did. Some bands will go and try to find somebody new, but like they went to find somebody that could sing just like him. And he does. He sings mm-hmm. a lot like him.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just that magic that's missing. There's something about times with certain bands that there's conflict and there's whatever, but the
yes.
the people that made that band
yeah.
up made it what it was.
Oh, they did. Yes.
It's part of your childhood.
I pity
too.
You. I pity you.
You pity me.
I pity you because you come from an era rock where bands are just singles and they don't matter to you. They're just nothing. They're just a product.
I'll admit that the songs that came out when I was in my teenage years are terrible.
Yes.
And I don't want to own them at all. If anything, I'd like to go back to the 60s and the 70s.
See,
I was raised with Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, NSYNC, and Backstreet Boys.
Horrible. Yeah. I grew up with bands that actually have songs that have lasted 40 years.
True.
I grew up with bands that, the thing is, the music industry changed. You would have a band that would come out and their first album would be like, it's all right. Today, if your first album is, it's all right, you're done. It's move on to the next thing. It's all about that single and move on.
Mm-hmm.
We got to watch bands grow and evolve and get better. Journey's first album is not as great as the album. I don't think Escape was their first album, but Escape is a great album.
Mm-hmm.
But like their first things, Rush, another great band. But Rush, before Neil Peart joined them, was horrible. I mean, they had songs like, I think I'm going bald. Like, okay, great. Getty Lee, nicely done. But then they got into songs like New World Man and other songs that were fantastic.
Well, and I will say too that I don't feel like music today is really music. Like,
no.
To me, it's more electronic. It's more like ear candy, where and they don't have to try that hard. And I think you can also say that you don't have to have a voice.
No, I mean,
you
so
don't
many
have
things.
To have talent at all.
You have to have an angle. You have to have shtick.
You have to have a character.
If you're looking at something like BTS, which I just, if you want to play it, I'm putting their little hook up there. But like, these guys don't even.
They're the K-pop boy band.
But this is a band that's like Korea. Like, they don't even speak English as like a secondary language. They literally learn these lyrics. Sorry that I know this.
Yeah, to make money.
Just to make
and to
music.
Me, they're not playing any of the songs, right?
Like,
they're not musicians.
They are just the boys dancing and singing.
And the and their stuff is big because girls, teenage girls, love boy bands, and they think that they're cute. And also,
it's
a good beat.
Girls.
We decided that yesterday. Yeah. Remember, we all three like it, but it's not.
They're a studio product. Go see them live, and you'll hear it, and you'll be like, "They sound amazing. They sound just like the album because it is."
Yeah,
it's
get them
all
up there without the tracks.
They're not going to be good.
Let's see how they are.
Not going to be good at all.
That's what I loved. I mean, when you would go see a band back in the day, and it was just five guys or four guys, and they're doing their own harmonies, no tracks. No nothing,
rocking
but
out.
You felt it. It was the energy, and it was that's what made it great, you know. And now it's just anyone can go in. I'm watching this show 90 Day Fiance, and there's this one guy in there. Jabrir, and his girlfriend from another country, Miona. She's breaking up the band. He's in a band.
And
it is the worst. It is so bad. So
the band is bad.
Yes. Oh yeah. They're called the Black Serbians or something like that, because he's black. You got his friend that's in the band is Serbian, and then they have one guy in the band. Every time they show this guy, they're in the studio, he is wearing a space helmet and like a space outfit, and they always that's such and such, the spaceman from outer space. So they're so into the shtick, but they are horrible. Like, they're like, the music is just
it doesn't matter if they have a song out that everybody's like, ooh, that's catchy.
Yeah.
Then they're in. There's a song that is really popular on TikTok. I can't remember the name of it, but I heard it one day. I saw the music video and I was like, he's literally saying the same thing over and over and over and over with a couple of yeahs and oohs and ahs.
That's all you need.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, verse, chorus, one bridge, chorus, out. You're
good.
Or
sometimes in this instance, it's chorus, ooh, ah. Chorus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Music always does this. It's always cyclical and it goes around, and you'll see like pieces. I love when you see young kids discovering old bands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that happened with Queen. Queen had a huge resurgence because of the movie.
But we don't like when young kids wear t-shirts of bands that they don't even know who they are.
No.
I saw that the other day. There was a girl on TikTok and she's this cute little preppy blonde white girl, and she's wearing a Nirvana shirt that's a crop top. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, because when you go to Target and you can buy all of these like faded looking old shirts like that are new, designed to look like they're old. We did a new rule on this, is you have to have seen the band to own the t-shirt. Like you, there's no way.
There's a t-shirt. I think I told you about this and I have considered getting it. But my cousin's husband bought a t-shirt. It says Nirvana on it, but it's three guys, but it's Hanson, the boys of Hanson. And I think it's hilarious. hilarious. Because I wonder how many Gen Zers would fall for that and be like, oh yeah, Nirvana.
That's really funny. That's really funny. I haven't seen that shirt. Yeah, I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. All right. Well, I remember one of my favorite t-shirts I had for a while. I used to wear it here all the time. It was the NASCAR logo, but instead of saying NASCAR, it's spelled out boring, but it looked like the logo.
NASCAR is
boring. I love that.
It's true.
All right. Well, there you go. Let's do some birthdays today.
All right. We got three of them. Melissa, she got hers in a little late. Her older brother, Tony, celebrated his birthday yesterday, turning 32. He's a great older brother. He did cause a lot of trouble as a teenager and young adult, but he turned his life around, and I'm extremely proud of him. Jeff, also known as Tater, wants to wish himself a happy birthday today.
Oh, we know Tater.
We do?
Yeah. We know Tater. Yeah.
Okay.
He's been here.
Tara wants to wish her husband, Michael, a happy birthday. Said, Mickey is my absolute favorite person on the planet. He works two jobs so that I can stay home with our toddler and baby.
Oh, that's cool.
He's full of fun, creativity, and his birthday was actually May 27th. Oops. Happy birthday. The question is, what is something that happens behind the scenes that not a lot of people who don't work in radio know about?
And
then she said, I love BTS things. I think she's referring to behind the scenes.
I thought you meant the boy, the pop.
That'd have been ironic.
Things that happen behind the scenes. Let me see.
That Wally is just as hyper, just as loud.
Especially when I've had coffee.
There were a couple breaks today that I felt your words basically, it's like slipping on ice where you're talking and you're like, oh, is he going to. Oh, he's still going. He's so fast.
Yeah. When I get coffee in me, too, it definitely helps.
I would say behind the scenes, there's sometimes where we're going into a bit and Wally is like Doug on Up.
Yeah.
The dog.
Yeah.
Just squirrel. Everything is a squirrel. So if you get him on something else, and it could be TikTok, it could be a rock in his shoe.
You can ask me a question and it throws me off.
He will forget the fact that he is actually about to go on the radio, forgets that he's working, and then forgets what we're about to do when we had just talked about it.
What happens is we have a show grid that has what we're going to do. We never script anything out inside of it, but we know what we're planning to do. Like, so a box might say email, so I know we're going to go to email, and then I need to have the email bed queued up because I play all that stuff. But the two of them have gotten really good at going, do you have your email bed? Because so many times before, I would get distracted, would forget to call it up, because we would be talking. We talk about stuff. We talk about life. We goof around. We make each other laugh in between.
And we
songs
have people
too,
who work here who also come into the studio and talk to us.
So there's
a
lot of stuff going on. And there will be breaks where I literally have hit the bed to start the music.
And he's yelling, what is this?
Yeah, what are we going to? Because I look at the picture or the paper and I totally blank out. I forget. I see nothing. And I'm like, what are we going into? What are we going to do? And she'll go, email. Okay, good. And then I can just roll. But yeah, so they have to keep me on track.
I will say another thing. It's amazing that you're not deaf.
Yes.
Because your headphones, there are times where Gavin and I think the speakers in the studio are still up, and it turns out it's music coming from your headphones because they're that loud.
They are so much louder. Other people will come in after us in the studio and they'll go to plug their headphones in and it's like, yep. Sorry. Yeah. I like it loud. I like to feel it in my headphones and I love the sound of my own voice. Mm-hmm. And so louder, the better. No.
You also have the one thing behind the scenes that runs the show at least 2 days a week these days is the first hour of the show is Betty just waiting until a certain point when she can
for
send
breakfast.
Me
yes.
to go get food. And
that's
sometimes
true.
If it takes longer than, you know, a minute for me to go get my wallet, there's sort of like a, why aren't you gone
yet?
And how have you not left yet?
And what you don't hear, it's like Betty's like that puppy at home when you're coming back and we hear the door click.
Both
like,
of you.
Click, click. She's like, oh, Kevin's back. Kevin's here. And so, yeah, so she's super into that. Like, if I could get her ever to focus on her career the way she focuses on planning for food, she would be, like, she would own the show. I would be ancillary to this.
Really? Interesting. Gavin does a lot of whispering.
Yes.
So we can be sitting there on our phones or whatever, and he'll be over there going, I just can't believe. Look at that.
My favorite is when he talks himself. He starts a story and then he just runs that story down.
And you're like,
He's like, no one.
What?
Because about midway through the story, I think he thinks no one cares about this.
Yes.
And so then he just mumbles it down, and then
But honestly, I just can't hear it.
Yeah. So now I'm like, what is? Okay, I just got to keep going.
That's totally fair. I do need to. And have tried to work on confidence with certain things. But yes, if I get through certain stories, and this just goes for like any people in my life, if I get through stories and I'm not feeling
Ollie,
like
people. The other day.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I just start to kind of
He trails off fine. On stories all the time. It's funny to me, actually.
Yeah, I'm glad you like it.
And I maybe the things that people don't see, because we come on and we do this thing, but I think the thing that people don't see is that we generally like sit there and talk in between songs when we're not, you know, when we each don't have other things we have to do.
We're talking about what we did the night before. Yeah. We're talking about breakfast. We're talking about things we watched on TV night before.
And I think too, like for
watching
me,
TV.
I like those conversations, and I'm trying to like make each other laugh. And sometimes in doing that, they're like, oh, that will be a good break. Let's do that tomorrow or what have you and stuff. So I think it's really important, the behind the scenes thing that a lot of people don't realize is Betty Rock loves me.
No.
A lot of that's why a lot of people don't realize this.
No, I can't give you an inch or you'll take a mile.
Exactly.
So I just
and she owes me. Betty Rock loves me and she owes me.
Long ways away. Yeah. For what?
Oh, you trust me. You owe me a lot. You owe me
for what?
Your career.
I
bought breakfast today.
But you did it the other day. Earlier this week too.
Yeah. So. Your career, your success.
She's over there like,
you know what we need to do, Gavin, because he's being all cocky like this, is while you're gone next week, we'll just take charge.
Oh, please. Mm-hmm. Do it. Do whatever you want to do.
And they'll be like, Wally.
Yeah. Oh. Maybe they'll forget me. I don't know.
You act like you don't care, but you do.
Do you remember that time when Betty was gone, Gavin, and Ron, our boss, came in, fist bumped Ron, and was like, I got to tell you, this sounds really good.
He did not.
Yeah. It sounds like the...
And he said he did not.
Of course he's not going to tell you that.
Oh, good grief.
And he's like, I love feeling the testosterone today.
And of course you would lie to
today.
Me. No, he... Stop it. Okay, I'm done. Thanks for being a body.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you. No. Oh, by the way, we're going to be off
no
for
podcast
a bit.
Aftercast.
Yep, sorry about that. But I'll come back with some stories from vacation and hopefully a little well-rested and maybe a little less cranky.
Sunburn.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for being a body.